ourselves. Lord, we come to you in this moment with maybe all sorts of things on our minds, things in our hearts. And God, I pray that you help us to examine those things, help us to bring them to you. Lord, I pray that any barriers or any distractions or anything that might get in the way of something that you are wanting one of your children here today to hear, I pray that you remove that. And Lord, help all of us be faithful followers of Jesus in this world. Let us live lives of prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So we have been in a series on prayer and talked about the importance of drawing near to God. There's so many things, so many good things that come about from our prayer lives. And we talked about how prayer is communion. We talked about the importance of prayer, one, in being a follower of Jesus and simply being obedient to Jesus. We want to be people who pray. But also it's powerful, it's effective, it changes things. It changes the world, it changes us. And it leads us to greater intimacy and closeness and walking in step with God, which is really what it's all about and where we're heading. And we also talked last week about bringing our full, honest selves to God. We talked about the prodigal son story where the father is delighted to see the son come back. And that is how the father sees you and delights in you whenever you want to draw near to him. Jesus was able to, in his life and ministry, he calls the Father Abba, this close familial relationship that no one had used towards God up to that point. And by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we too can have that level of nearness and closeness with a Father who loves us and wants to be with us, which is so amazing. And this morning, we're diving into a little bit more on the how. We're talking about how do we actually speak to God? What are the kinds of things we ought to say to God? Because I know for a lot of us, this can feel kind of weird. I know in a lot of Hollywood portrayals, they really nail the awkward side of things. And in the movie Meet the Parents, there's this scene where Ben Stiller's character is saying grace with his love interest's family around. And it's just super awkward. And he uses a lot of like King James English and really tries to make it sound like hyper-spiritual and use all the right words. But I think for a lot of us, and why maybe there are Hollywood portrayals like that with prayer, is because prayer can kind of feel strange. To some people, it can feel like I'm listing off my wish list to the cosmic genie in the sky. Skeptics of Christianity, I've heard say in reference to prayer that we're just talking to our imaginary friend. Sometimes, for some of us at different times, it can feel like something like that. It can feel strange. It can feel uncomfortable. Feel like you're talking to the air. And maybe for you, that resonates a little bit. Maybe for you, it has felt strange, or you don't know what you ought to be saying in prayer, or maybe you feel like it's a waste of time. But I believe that whenever we speak to our Abba, to our Father, he hears. He listens. He responds. And I believe that even in the things that we are speaking to God, as we are speaking, God is transforming us. And we're going to get into that more. As it relates to the things we ought to be saying in prayer, I think there's no greater place to go to or to turn to than Matthew chapter 6. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. This is how Jesus is teaching us to pray. It's a really, really good an important prayer that all of us ought to embody and make be a part of our prayer rhythm. And I'd like to mention and give permission. It is really good. It is a great practice, especially if coming up with the right words. I say right words in quotations because really we want to be bringing our hearts to God and speaking to him in whatever way is conversational. But whenever we are maybe having a hard time finding the words to say, it's great to pray pre-made prayers. Especially good to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's great to pray through the Psalms. Great to pray through prayers in church history like the Serenity Prayer or the Book of Common Prayer. There are so many things that can help guide our thoughts in prayer. And I know the Lord's Prayer can feel like really common. It can feel routine. But I'm going to ask that all of us try to listen to this, think about this with a fresh mind. In Matthew 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it ends there, and some of you might be like, it feels abrupt, there needs a better ending. Well, there was an insertion from later manuscripts that ended, for yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever, amen. But the original manuscript, so it was true to what Jesus taught to pray, ended at that point. And it begins by saying, our Father. Very important. This whole prayer is communal. Jeff Crawford talked about that a few weeks ago. This whole prayer is communal. It's not just my Father, our Father. Us as children of God, we have the same Father. This is a word that means a lot about unity, that we have collectively the same Father. And it's amazing, as we talked about, that the God of the universe, we can have that close of a relationship, that he is our Father. And then the next line, before we get to that, one aside, oftentimes I've been asked the question, who ought we pray to? In terms of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. Generally, the Trinitarian formula in Scripture is prayer to the Father in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. However, there's also prayer directed to Jesus in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. That is an act of worship. The Holy Spirit is divine just as the Father and the Son is. So I personally believe it's totally permissible and acceptable to pray to any of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And praying to one of them, in a way, you're praying to all of them because God is one. And there is such unity and harmony within the Trinity that I think you can't really go wrong in who you're addressing it to, as long as you're addressing it to God. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So, in heaven is the domain of God, the space of God. And there's a statement of God's name being hallowed or holy or set apart, totally distinct, being one of one, one of a kind. And I think it's really important that Jesus teaches us to pray starting with that. He leads us to pray to God in a way that is praising him, adoring God. This is something that helps orient us. Because whenever we praise God, then we're kind of seeing ourselves in a right light. That we are not the center of the universe. There is one who is the center of the universe. It's a moment to be humbled. And it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a prayer of surrender and yielding to the will and the kingdom of God to be done right here. As things are in your domain, as things are perfect in heaven and good and morally upright and there's no sin and decay and damage, whatever else, may your kingdom, may your will be done here just like how it is in heaven. And that prayer, just that one line, hits like everything that you would want in prayer. It really does. It's language of surrender, it's language of trust and faith, and it's praying, it's interceding for the absolute best thing, because whenever we pray for God's will to be done in any sort of situation, we are praying for the best possible thing, because God is ultimately wanting to make all things new, that God is working all things together for good. And we're taught that if we pray in the will of God, in 1 John, that he hears us. But note, this first half of this prayer is all orientation. We don't even get to a request. I guess your will be done is a request, but it is more orientation language. It's helping us come to the right place and understanding ourselves and shifting our perspective away from ourselves and selfishness and turning to God. And then it gets into the provision. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need today. Here we see the importance of asking for things. We ought to ask for things. Jesus invites us to ask so that we may receive. We think of the persistent widow story. To keep asking continually. We ought to be people who ask for God to show up and especially take care of the needs for today. Jesus is really, really big in his ministry on focusing on the present moment, focusing on the now, not worrying about what tomorrow holds, worrying about what's right in front of you, right here, right now. So it makes sense that he teaches us to pray for the moment, pray for what's happening today. And then this line, it's really interesting. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. I wonder how often our prayers sound like that. But it's so important. Forgiveness is so important. It is so crucial. It is such a bedrock of Christianity that it made the Lord's Prayer. That Jesus instructs that we ought to be praying in this way. So forgive us of our sins. Baked into that is a level of understanding and admission of our sins, confessing our sins, and receiving the mercy and forgiveness of God. I think maybe a lot of us, we might pray that in our prayers. How many of us pray the second half of that line? As we have also forgiven those, as we have forgiven our debtors. I know for me that's not as natural to include in my prayers, but it is so crucial. Jesus, even later in this chapter, speaks to, if we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. Those are the words of the Lord of the universe, who is the judge of the living and the dead, not Kyle. We need to be people of forgiveness. Absolute necessity, because whenever we as humans live in cycles of revenge and getting even, it just creates, it's that idea of an eye for an eye makes the world go blind. The more that we just keep hating each other and going back and forth, it just creates these awful cycles. And it's not until someone is big enough and strong enough to forgive that that cycle ends. And that's why Jesus teaches the church to be people of forgiveness, to help do exactly what we saw earlier in this prayer, to help God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One way we do that is by forgiveness. And then it ends by saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So that Greek word for temptation can also mean trial or testing. So it's interesting that Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation or trials, because elsewhere in the New Testament, it talks about trials in a relatively positive way, that it can refine something in us, it can grow something in us. So why does Jesus say, don't lead us into a place of temptation or trial? Also, if you go back a couple chapters, in Matthew chapter 4, the beginning of it, it says explicitly, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. That's really interesting. And part of me feels like Jesus includes this in the Lord's Prayer because he knows the schemes of the enemy firsthand. He knows how serious the temptation is for us to fall into sin and be alienated from God. So I think it's interesting that he includes, knowing how easy it is to be tempted, for us to pray, do not lead us into temptation, because we could fall, we could stumble, we could go in a direction that God does not want us to go. And the second half of this, deliver us from the evil one, is almost as if we do find ourselves in a place of temptation and trial, please, let us say no. Let us escape the schemes of the evil one. Deliver us, save us from that. Which is also important to note that spiritual warfare made the Lord's Prayer. I think a lot of times in, you know, Western secular society, we can kind of dismiss the idea of spiritual warfare. It can feel kind of strange. Jesus teaches us to pray for deliverance from the schemes of the enemy. I think we should learn from that. So I wonder, how much do your normal prayers and what you speak to God, how much does it sound like the Lord's Prayer? I know for me, maybe there's some overlap, but there's, I would say, some deficiencies, personally. Oftentimes, I think our prayers can be rooted in asking things from God. We want things done for us. Oftentimes, it's rooted in, I would say, a level of selfishness. At least for me, it has been. God, I want things the way I want it and the timing I want it, so please, God, help me do this thing. My prayers have been so me-centric. And I'm sure that's true for a lot of us. It's easy to go to God in prayer whenever things don't go well and we need him to show up in our lives. But the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray is much bigger than that, even though it's very short. This is the best modeled prayer. This is the best place to start if speaking to God in prayer has been a challenge. And as I read through the Lord's Prayer, I started noting, like as I was going, I was noting the different types or maybe categories of prayer within the Lord's Prayer, and I came up with this acronym that I thought, man, this is a helpful memory device that can help us all pray. And I really thought I was being clever, and I discovered something. I Googled this exact acronym, and it existed like on 10 other websites. So I simply reinvented the wheel. But the acronym, so whenever you pray, remember to pray. It's pretty easy, right? The P stands for praise, which is how we see the Lord's Prayer begin. Hallowed be your name. It is so important that we praise the Lord in prayer. We do this as we come together in the form of worship music as we are singing today. That is a prayer. That is a prayer of praise. Whenever we thank God for who he is, whenever we thank God for what he has done in our lives, I know for myself, one of the most humbling and faith-building things, practices I do during the year is I write out a list from this past calendar year of everything that I'm grateful for, or everything that I think God has done in my life that has been good. And the pages that I end up writing, I mean, all of it is so humbling, and it's just an evidence of the power of prayer. And I think it's easy for us as prisoners of the moment to lose sight and just how much God has done for us and continues to do for us every day. So it's so good for us to pray prayers of praise and thanksgiving. And there's so much fruit that comes from us. I believe that as humans in this time, we live with this default state of entitlement. It is rampant. I feel like it's especially strong in Williamson County, from my experience. This sense that I am owed something. I deserve the absolute best for me. That is such a wrong way to understand the world. We are not owed a thing by the creator of the universe. There is nothing we are owed. And everything that is good that we have is simply a gift from God that we do not deserve. And so whenever we begin our prayers in praise and thanksgiving and saying, God, thank you for all that you've done, it shifts our hearts and moves us away from this feeling of entitlement and pride towards humility and gratitude. And that is a game changer for your life. It has been for me. I'm not perfect at that. I still feel quite entitled sometimes. But another thing, the R, repent. Repent includes in it an acknowledgement of sin, a confession of sin, asking for forgiveness and a desire to turn from how we've been living. How often are we confessing and acknowledging our sin to God? It is such a healthy practice. It brings healing to the soul to do this. And as we experience more of the forgiveness of God, it becomes much easier to forgive other people. But whenever we feel like we've been forgiven little, we forgive little. There's oftentimes a correlation with that. But it's so healthy to pray prayers of repentance and confession. I would recommend looking up Psalm 51. That's one of the best examples of a prayer of repentance and confession. And then we have A, ask. Like I mentioned, we are invited to ask of the Lord for him to show up and receive. We see that a couple times in the Lord's Prayer, asking for God to do something. And whenever we ask for things ourselves, oftentimes that's called petition, prayers of petition. If we pray on behalf of other people, prayers of intercession, Both of these are so important. And oftentimes this is where our prayers gravitate towards. But one of the best, some of the best fruit that comes from asking is one, receiving. Whenever we ask and receive the thing that we've been asking for, it's a faith-building thing. It helps us see that God hears us. God listens to our prayers. But also, especially for intercession, some of the best fruit that comes from praying for other people is growing our love within us. It's great if God answers those prayers and shows up for the people that we're praying for. But even if it doesn't happen the way that we think or would want it to, praying for other people grows love in our hearts for people. And maybe you can be the answer to the prayer that somebody needs. Prayers of intercession are so, so important. And then we have why, yield. Prayer of surrender. Prayer of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, not mine. I think of the Psalms, so many of them talk about these hard moments that they're experiencing with God, but yet it ends with, even so, I will praise you. I think it's important for us to be people of surrender and to trust the Lord's will. And to pray things in accordance with the Lord's will. Like I said, because whenever we do that, we're praying for the best possible thing. God knows what is best in every circumstance. And there's such fruit that comes from prayers of surrender. Again, it reorients us. It humbles us. It helps us not see ourselves as the center of the universe. Helps us endure. Helps us live by faith. So many things. I hope this morning that if speaking to God has been something that's been a challenge, or maybe you've had an unbalanced diet of how you've been speaking to God, maybe you've been only asking him for things, maybe this is an invitation to bring more praise and worship into your prayer life, or to repent, or to yield and surrender more. But remember, the words that we say is not really what it's about. It's about bringing our full selves to the Lord and being honest with God and making the space to pray. Simply doing that, no matter the words that we say, it changes us for the better. And I would invite all of us to imagine and think about how we might be able to make prayer more of a rhythm in our lives this week. Because as we pray, we are partnering with God to bring heaven down to earth. Do you have that view of prayer, that it is that significant, that we are help shifting how things are on earth for God to come and move powerfully, for the way of heaven to be the way of earth? That's what's happening when we pray. There have been seasons I have definitely doubted that, though. Coming from places of feeling like I've gotten a lot of no's from God or not yet. However, over the course of my life, the amount of times that God has shown up in spectacular ways through prayer has made me a believer that it is effective, even if I get a lot of no's. I think about whenever me and Abby were looking to move towards Nashville, we were trying to find a way to make it work. And there was a job offer for Abby at Lipscomb, and the superintendent of the school told me that there wasn't a job for me, but as soon as there was an opening for the Bible department or something like that, they'd let me know. And so I spend the next 3 hours like texting, calling everybody who I have a connection with over in Nashville, like, hey, can something work out? Is that, like, I'm happy to do something part-time. I can scrub cars. I can, you know, I'll do whatever. And I got nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing by my own effort. And then it got to a point where I just, like, I surrendered. And I remember walking out of the front door of my townhouse and saying, God, if this is your will, you're going to have to make it abundantly clear. You're going to have to make a way. You're going to have to open a door because there is nothing right now. And a very, very short time after I prayed that prayer, I got a call from the superintendent again. And he said, hey, I don't know if this is God moving things around or what, but we just had a full-time Bible faculty resign and the job's yours if you want it. And I was like, thank you. Like, maybe there's not tons of moments where you've experienced like praying for something and immediately the result comes, whenever it seems like there is no path forward. But I can almost promise you that if you continuously live a life of prayer, you're going to see those moments happen more and more frequently. There is breakthrough that happens in prayer. I think also about my mother. Whenever she was diagnosed with breast cancer, I just kept praying for full healing, full healing, full healing, and ultimately did not get that answer. She battled it for those 9 years. But even though I didn't get the answer I wanted in that way, God answered yes so many times in that journey. One of the biggest ones, while me and Abby were dealing with infertility, I so desperately wanted my mom to experience the joy of holding her grandbaby. And y'all prayed so much for that. I'm so grateful for that. But by the grace of God, she was able to do that. She was able to hold Felicity, and that meant the world to me. That was one of the biggest answered prayers in all of this. Even though it wasn't ultimately the prayer I wanted, God was still saying yes. Our prayers are powerful. And I've shared this quote before, but I think it highlights the power of prayer so well. It's from a preacher named William MacDonald from last century. He said, "Prayer has divided seas, rolled up flowing rivers, made flinty rocks gush into fountains, quenched flames of fire, muzzled lions, disarmed vipers and poisons, marshaled the stars against the wicked, stopped the course of the moon, arrested the rapid sun in its great race, burst open iron gates, recalled souls from eternity, conquered the strongest devils, commanded legions of angels down from heaven. What has prayer not done?" Amen. And church, I believe for you and your life, you may be one prayer away from breakthrough personally, or seeing breakthrough in another family member's life. We don't know. But I pray this morning that as a church, as a collective, we have a heart desire to want to be people of prayer, to be prayer warriors, because prayer changes things. Prayer changes the world, and it changes us. It forms us to be more and more like Christ. So we're going to end in a time of prayer. And I'm actually going to ask our prayer team not to move around the room right now. Whenever we are in the final song, I would invite you to go ahead and move at that point. And if you'd like prayers for something, if you would like intercession on your behalf, we're going to have that going during the last song. But in this moment, for our church right now, I know this is something that might be a little bit challenging. I know for some of us, prayer can feel awkward, it can feel strange. But I want this moment to be a time where it is just you and God. No hiding, no putting on a mask, no getting out your phone to order something. A time where it is just you and God. And truthfully, church, if it's been a challenge to pray, and it's hard to pray in a moment when the whole church is praying together, how much harder is it to pray whenever you're busy in your life outside of this place? Prayer time can feel stretching. It can feel challenging. But there is so much breakthrough that is possible. And there is a God who loves you beyond what you could possibly imagine. And he is desiring for you to draw near to him, to draw near to his heart. So I don't know this morning how the Lord might be inviting you to pray. We're going to have the acronym up here. Maybe you're in a season of thankfulness and you want to spend time praising God today, just recalling how God has been faithful through your life and giving him glory and praise for that. Maybe there's some sin in your life. I know I frequently make a rhythm of acknowledging my sin, bringing it to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, that sort of thing. And maybe that's something that's been getting in the way of your relationship with him. Sin separates us. So maybe this is an opportunity for God to show you where maybe there is something that is separating you from Him. And an opportunity to find the healing touch of the great physician, that we may be forgiven. Maybe for some of you, you are desperately asking for God to show up in some way. And this is a great opportunity to be the persistent widow, to pray, to beg, to ask God to show up for you. Or maybe if you're having a hard time of thinking of things to pray, look around the room. If there's someone you know that's going through a hard time, intercede on their behalf. Pray for them. Pray for God to show up mightily in their lives. And maybe for some of you, the problem's been control. A feeling of, I can't let this go. I have to have things done my way. To pray the prayer, not my will, but yours be done. And to sit with that. Whatever it is, however the Lord is inviting you to speak to Him this morning, I want to take a few minutes for us as a church, as a collective, to turn our hearts over to Him, because He cares for us. So, Lord, we ask, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus, that You come and You move in our hearts, that You form us, that You let us be people who live lives of prayer. We thank You for the gift of salvation and the ability to draw near to You in Your presence. And Lord, any sin, anything that is getting in the way of our connection with You, Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, You remove that. Let us walk into Your presence with boldness that Jesus made possible through His atoning death and resurrection. And God, I know if we were to write down the list of things that people in this room were desiring to have happen, it would be incredibly long. Lord, You know all the heart desires that exist in this church. And we come before You humbly, and we want You to consider and grant in Your will the request of our heart. And ultimately, Lord, we surrender. We surrender to You. We trust You, that You are good, Your ways are good, Your plans are meant for us to prosper. So Lord, in this time, let this room be filled with prayer and connection to You.